Oh, we haven't been recorded? Oh, darn.
So good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Magnolia Public Schools Facility and Audits Committee meeting. My name is Jennifer Lara, and I'm the Executive Assistant here at Magnolia Public Schools. Before we begin, I did have some brief reminders. First, this meeting is being recorded. And second, if you're a member of the public and you would wish to give a comment during the public comment section of this meeting, you're more than welcome to state your name if it's something you feel uncomfortable in doing so. You do not have to state your name. However, to the members of our board and staff, as always, state your name before speaking. Lastly, we do have a scheduled regular board meeting tonight at 6 p.m. right after this. This is so our board members and our staff can keep into consideration moving forward. With that, we'll continue today's meeting. The day is March 11th, 2021, and the time is 5:04 p.m. Mr. Mohamedov, may you please call the meeting to order?
Yes, this is Mikan Mohamedov. I call Magnolia Public Schools Facility and Audit Committee meeting to order.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. I'll now record attendance. Mr. Mohamedov?
Here.
Rabbi Beliak?
Yes.
Ms. Gonzalez, I see that you jumped on. Are you here? Ms. Gonzalez? All right, so Dr. Yalpin?
I'm here.
Okay, will you be joining us for the meeting?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I can jump off with pleasure, if that's the case. I have some guests coming over, so I can prepare for the regular meeting.
Sounds good, Dr. Yalpin. Thank you so much for everything.
Thanks, Diane, for joining. Good luck.
Bye. Thank you.
All right, so we're taking roll call, Ms. Gonzalez, so I'll mark you as present. Perfect, so we have quorum to continue tonight's meeting. Next, we'll move on to the public comments. We did not receive any public comments form for this meeting. However, if you're a member of the public and you would wish to give a comment, please unmute yourselves now.
Do we have a way of knowing who else is on with us besides the committee members and the staff?
As far as I see right now, it's just staff and committee members.
Mm-hmm. Rabbi, if you click on the participants in the bottom of the Zoom,
it'll tell you who's in.
You'll see exactly who's on Zoom, and you will see number of participants.
Right. Okay. Right. Thank you. I know that, but now it's good. I'm reminded. Thank you.
Right. So moving forward, we'll move on to the approval of the agenda. The motion is to approve the agenda as presented. Would a board member like to move the motion?
So moved.
I'll second it.
Thank you, Rabbi Beliak and Ms. Gonzalez. I'll now take vote. Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Rabbi Beliak?
Yes.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Thank you. The agenda has been approved as presented. Next, we'll move on to the approval of minutes. The motion is to approve the minutes for the Facilities Committee meeting for December 9th, 2020. Would a board member like to move the motion?
So moved.
Thank you, Rabbi Beliak. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. I'll now take vote. Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Rabbi Beliak?
Yes.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Thank you so much. The minutes for December 9th, 2020 has been approved. Next on the agenda, we'll move on to the recommended action items, starting with 2A, approval of MSA-1 design contract. This will be presented by Mr. Ontiveros, our General Counsel and Director of Facilities. Mr. Ontiveros?
Yes, good afternoon, everybody. So the approval that's being sought from the committee today is the selection of Franco Architects to provide design and engineering services for certain capital improvement projects at MSA-1. And we are obviously concurrently recommending that the committee further recommend and move that the board of directors approve the same. So I will go into some details about this. As you're well aware, this is an item that we have discussed in the past. and consistent with feedback that was received, we went back and delved into the bids that we had originally received, clarified certain information from the architects, and came up with what we have before us now. But just by way of background, what we're trying, the projects entail is as follows. We're looking to essentially create some open space on the existing middle school parking lot parcel. So it includes creating open green space. It includes a concrete pad over which we would have a solar shade structure. It would include a running track. It would include fencing around the entire MSA 1 parking parcels, both the middle school and high school. It would also include fixing some drainage, as well as installing a modular outdoor restroom. That's one scope of work. The other scope of work is involves the middle school building itself. And the first floor at the middle school building is not level. There's a portion of the first floor that is sunk. And so the school would find greater use for that space if it was all level. So part of this exercise is to accomplish that and make it all level on the first floor. So that's the second scope of work. So we had previously solicited bids from four different design firms. And during that first round, we received bids from them. From all four, the lowest cost one was Franco Architects, and the most expensive one was from Canon Design, formerly GKK Works. At the last meeting, we discussed the board's concern, or rather the committee's concern, that there was a great disparity in the bids. With Franco Architects being the lowest cost, Canon Design being the most expensive, and the other two firms falling somewhere in the middle. And so we were instructed to delve a bit deeper into the bids that we received to make sure that all scope was accounted for. So that's what we did. We went back to three of the original bidders. The fourth one, Canon Design, we decided not to go back to simply because their original proposal was so expensive. It was difficult to see that they could get anywhere near where we would want to be cost-wise. So we decided not to pursue that. But in going back to our original three slate of bidders, we not only wanted to clarify the scope, but also give them an opportunity to tighten up their bids because the two of the three were just so much larger than the other one. And even when you break down their bids by the category of work, for example, structural, landscape, it seemed like there was, even within those two higher priced ones, there was a good degree of disparity. So they were challenged to do that. They were also told to split up their bids into two scopes. So the site work would be one scope of work. And then the middle school building, the raising of that first floor, the leveling of it, that would be another scope. So we did that. We asked them to do that, and they resubmitted their bids. Now on, let's see, if you're looking at the board report, you would see like under item C where it says RFP revised bids, it shows a summary of the amounts that we received back. And that's broken out by the scope of work, site work versus middle school building work for each of the three. And then following that summary table, I further broke out the different scopes by different trades. So for example, structural, electrical, plumbing, civil, landscape, I included that information so that we could compare across these three firms. And then in the final analysis, what I did was, it's on page 5, there's a table called All Scope, and this includes both scopes of work. And what I endeavored to do here was to try to anticipate that there might be additional costs if the project proceeds as intended. So for example, all three architects did not include an elevator engineer. And then that's fairly typical. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think it's reasonable to assume that we would need an elevator engineer because in the middle school building, there is a elevator on the first floor. And we could certainly foresee that that would be a hurdle we would have to overcome in order to make that first floor level. So I included an allowance of about $10,000 and included it across all three bids. Berliner included in their original and also in the revised bids, an estimate for reimbursable fees, which is something that neither Franco nor David Kay included. So again, to compare apples to apples, I included a reimbursable fee, an allowance for both Franco and David Kay. So when the dust settles, and I did also, it wasn't just Franco, I did this across all of these categories of scope. So for example, as another example, you may recall that David Kay had included an amount for a geotech engineer. Neither Berliner nor Franco included that, but again, in abundance of caution, we included a similar amount in both of their bids so that we could compare them more efficiently. So when the dust settles, what you come out with is what you see on page 5 of the report, if you have it in front of you. The Franco bid comes out to roughly about $113,550. The David Kay and Berlin are actually fairly close in the $226,000 to $227,000 range. Now, based on this and based on conversations that we had with all three of them, especially Franco, we're satisfied that they've included everything in their scope. In other words, they understand what the project is, and there isn't something that we believe was left out. I think it's important to note that there is certain scope that is not included in any of these bids from these architects because they're assuming that another vendor would take care of it. So for example, that would include the solar shade structure, that would include the modular restroom. Both of those would basically be design build by another vendor. So that is uniform across all three. So in conclusion, having gone through this exercise, you know, we're confident that all the scope was caught. There isn't anything that was left out from one bid to the other. You know, furthermore, we also just kind of to do a check on ourselves, talked about this with our partners, Altman Construction, who you may recall constructed the high school building. And, you know, we talked through it a bit with them to make sure that there was nothing that they thought might be a red flag for us to consider. So in sum, we're coming back to you with the same recommendation, except having delved deeper into the information that we received and as the board, as this committee recommended. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Ontiveros. Is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? If not, board members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item?
Thank you, Patrick. This is Mekhan for putting this together and breaking it down. And at our phone conference, short one, a couple times, we had requested, especially Rabbi. So this breaks down a lot for me. I have a question and trying to understand on the second page, is that it? Right, so second, third page. So Franco proposed $61,000.
That was the original bid, yep.
Original bid, and then you broke it down and you said, so these kinds of costs may come up, such as elevator, that yes. You mentioned in elevator engineering and mm-hmm. others. So considering that and added that to all of them in equal amounts. And yep. Now you're saying that at the end of this project, this may end up costing us, even if we go with Franco, around $113,000.
Yes.
And with the same constants applied to other Berliner and David K, so their prices will also go up, but not as much. But you're saying that it may not end up being 61,000. Just be ready. There are these costs.
Exactly. That's exactly correct. That's exactly correct.
Was this communicated with Franco?
Well, yes and no. What my conversation with Franco entailed was, hey, look at, we're concerned that that all the scope was properly accounted for. And so they were in their original bid, they were not explicit about saying, okay, well, this does not include a geotech engineer. This does not include an elevator engineer. This does not include, the solar canopy. So those costs are gonna be part of this, but the ones that I think are of most pertinent at this juncture are, say, the geotech.
I remember, sorry to interrupt you, just to add, remember because in the phone we had talked about David K having the geotech and others not having it. And
that's right.
Our assumption was that, well, is that why David K seems high? Because they put the things right. that others right. didn't, right?
Right, exactly. Okay. Yeah. And so that's why we went back and when we were assembling this information, make sure that there isn't, you know, we're not weighing them accurately because one included costs that the other ones did not. So this, you know, based on the information we've received from all of them, we think this is where the cost will likely land when the dust settles.
And consultant coordination fees. So Berliner has that.
Yes.
Other two don't. Does that mean that once, let's say we chose Berliner David K or Franco for that matter, will that be added or is it just something that is to do with Berliner and their practice?
That has to do with Berliner and their practice. Every architect, well, everybody can do it differently. And most of the architects that I've seen, this kind of coordination, consultant coordination fee is already baked into the fees that they quote. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to me, it's, I guess, another way of categorizing their fees. I mean, it certainly has a transparency element to it, but when the dust settles, it's all fees that are paid to the architect for their work. And part of their work as an architect is coordinating all these other consultants. So right. I just see it as part of their fee. And I think the, you know, one issue that would concern me about that is if, let's say, you know, there is a more structural work or more plumbing work that needs to be done, to me that does lend itself to, you know, not only increasing the, you know, quote unquote straight fee, but also the coordination fee. So that's something that has always given me pause whenever I've seen that kind of thing. I think it's just easier for us just to think of it as a fee. And it's, I think to me, it just causes a little bit of confusion when you start breaking up their fee into these different parts. Again, they're the architect of record. They're responsible for coordinating this project. So it, to me, it doesn't make a lot of sense to do it that way, but that's how they do it. So, you know, we have to respect that.
Okay. And lastly, can you talk a little bit about the Ottmans? You guys contacted them regarding plumbing?
Obviously, as you know, they constructed the high school building. They went through all the trials and tribulations that we went through with that project. Ultimately it was a successful project, but, you know, we had to jump through some hoops, but, you know, so I basically went back to them and said, hey, look, this is the project we're thinking about for the middle school. I'm talking to these architects. These are the kind of fees I'm looking at here. We're concerned that maybe one architect's fees are too low and maybe they're missing something. And so we just kind of talked through it, and they thought, well, you know, yes, it's very inexpensive, but even if they missed some piece of the scope, you could very easily, you know, hire somebody to do that, and you would still be under the next lowest bid. So that was kind of their perspective, but there was nothing. There's nothing that I've seen. There's nothing that, you know, in my discussions with them that leads me to believe that there's like some scope of work that is missing and that's going to end up costing us a lot of money. I mean, obviously when you go through permitting, when you go through building and safety, anything can happen. They can say, yes, you missed something, or you could even as happened with a high school building, you could get to the inspection stage and they could say, oh, you have to do it this way instead of the way you did it. And then that ends up costing more. So those are unknowns that are going to be universal across any architect. But from what we've seen, the description of the work in the documents that were provided in the RFP, you know, we feel confident that everything was captured.
Okay, thank you.
Any further questions from the members of the board?
Well, of course, I have some questions. I've not yet heard from my friend. Admit I was a little tardy in getting him the materials. I'm not happy with the way we're doing business. We are doing business where we are assuming costs for an architect that has given us a low ball figure. And I think it's wise to do what Patrick has done, because there are so many things that originally appeared in the Franco thing that was unspecified. But when we went back to them and they didn't add these things, that creates for me more doubt about them. And it is clear to me that while we have this discrepancy in the bids, we still remain here with a group that failed to continue to read the codes and thought they could just get by. And that cost us in the end quite a bit of money when we were working on the high school. I don't know why we're even allowing them to bid. We had problems with the Berliner people in Santa Ana, and they're still in the bidding. I guess I'm lamenting the fact that what we're forced to do is to choose a lower bid in the hopes that they will be better than the bad practice that they demonstrated last time. I'm not satisfied with this explanation that it's on the shoulders of the inspectors alone, that things as major as a fire suppressant system was overlooked for a chemistry lab. And I'm not all that interested in paying more to somebody who, at least in theory, is going to do the same work. I think we're put into a situation where essentially, because this is public money, we're not being allowed to carefully deal with things. If you would scroll down, please. I just want to ask in the, just as an example, this sort of was one of the things that jumped out at me. Continue to scroll down, please. Thank you. I'm looking for, yes, right here. This is where sort of where we think we're the closest to what we're voting on. And this is something we discussed, Patrick and I discussed. So we look at this landscape issue, which is 10,001 inch, a little less than 10,000 for the Franco and 41,000. One of the questions I would ask is, maybe we don't do landscape with these people. We have a separate company do landscape and not include landscape. Because that one particular thing is unreasonably high. And it looks like it could be separated out and we could get a separate bid for landscape. Then what we're looking at is a smaller differential in terms of, can you go back to, let's say, David Kay and say, don't do landscape. The other thing that in the same vein concerns me still is Franco, who has been working on this project, has kind of an inside track on the issues of the structural things. It leads me to suspect that that's why they didn't bothered to say anything about a geotech bid. So if you add the geotech bid and the structural on the Franco all scope chart, what you have is about $25,000. And it occurs to me that that's partly because they have inside knowledge of the building. Whereas just the closest one comparing that is either K, which is almost $100,000 of the bid, which is to me way out of line. I don't understand how they could do that, especially after Patrick went back to them and said, we're looking at these bids closer. Can you do any better? And they insisted on these very high amounts. I'm left in a quandary.
Yeah, if I could just chime in here. I mean, your point is well taken. You know, if you even if you look across, you know, let's say you kind of put your hand over the Franco Architects column and just look at the Berliner and David Kay, you see in some instances pretty large differences. Like if you look at structural, Berliner's is at 30,000, David Kay's is at 61,000, you know, double. You look at landscape, you know, that's four times, David Kay's four times. But then you look at the architectural fee, David Kay is half. So when I look at these, what I think is going on, is that they may not entirely, I think there's in their budgeting, I think they're trying to account for unknowns. And I think that is, I think that's part of what we're seeing there. They're just not as familiar with it. The reason Franco is more familiar with it is because they were asked to be part of the plans that were drafted for the zone change. GKK work started that, and then when it kind of came down to crunch time, we needed to ask, you know, another firm to help take those to the finish line, and Franco was a good choice for that. There was nothing particularly difficult or magical about doing those plans at that point. They do have some familiarity. Part of their project at the high school building was the drainage for the parking lot. And so they do, in some respects, you know, have an inside track in that I'm assuming that their civil engineer, you know, probably has a good idea of what is needed on the middle school side, you know, to submit a drainage plan that is going to be satisfactory to building and safety. So from in that respect, yes, I think they do have, you know, something of an advantage. And I'm sure that's reflected in their pricing.
Any further questions or comments from our board members? If there's no further questions or comments, then I'll read off the motion. So the motion is for the committee to approve the selection of Franco Architects Inc. for design and engineering services for certain capital improvement projects at Magnolia Science Academy 1, and that the committee further recommends and moves that the board of directors of MPS approve the same. Would a board member like to move the motion?
I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. Is there a second? Would a board member like to second the motion? If there's no second, then would the board members like to amend the motion?
Is it possible to take the landscaping out from the bidders and give that to another company? I really feel that probably once the construction is finished, the landscaping may not be as expensive as what they have.
Well, landscaping is 9,150, Ms. Gonzalez.
right,
for Franco, and 41,000 for David Kay. And just to give a background, and Patrick can chime in here, is that why we have landscape as a separate line item here is because David Kay added it. And then Rabbi and Patrick, when we had the ad hoc committee phone conference, we said, okay, but why don't we make it equal for everyone? And that's how it ended up where it is now. But I think just removing that particular portion from the scope, I don't know, Patrick.
I don't think that's going to work. And the reason for that is we are going into building and safety with these plans that were approved as part of the zone change. Okay. So if we were to go in without the landscaping, they're going to, I'm 95% confident they're going to say, sorry, we're not going to review these until you have a landscape component to this. So, okay. Yeah.
I would suggest, Mr. Chairman, that we don't have a second.
We don't have it, and ramifications of that, Patrick can chime in. So it's been about 4 months, going into five, I think, we're discussing this item, and it looks like schools are going to be opening, established fully in fall. And I think staff has provided us all the information and the scope and the requests that we asked from them. And Rabbi, you were going to consult with a friend of yours in Atlanta, Georgia. I was looking forward to that personally. Delaying this any further, and I understand it's public money, but let's keep in mind that we are spending public money by employing our staff to spend time on this as well. That's costing us too. And MSA one, the outside there is crucial. I mean, we said that, okay, can we split the two? Staff came back and it can be done. We asked them to bring cost analysis. They went out of their way and broke it even further down. It's not easy. And here we are in March and not even able to we confused about how we want to move forward. So if we don't have second, then board members, please amend it the way that we expedite this. I don't know how this can be done because school is waiting. Kids are going to be waiting. They're going to be under the sun. I spent 6 years there under the sun, and every time when there is a wind, tent would go off. So I may be a little emotional about this, but I know what school goes through, what kids go through there. Mm-hmm. Can you please go to your mom? Thank you. So I know what kids go through there. And Franco obviously has some history here at MSA1, and that is causing certain tensions, to say the least. But when you look at the numbers, when you look at the scope, when you look at the reasoning behind it, the fact that they have architectural information more than the others, and that puts them ahead, we just have to come up with something as a committee. I think Steph has done what they had to do. We have to guide them if we're not going to second and move this forward.
I don't have any complaint with what staff has done. I think they've done the best with the cards they've been dealt with. It's not a question of the staff here. This still feels to me like we're rewarding a group. I mean, somehow it seems to me that there's only a certain group of people with all the architects in California that are allowed to or want to or are interested in working on charter school things. And that may be part of the problem, that they know that if it's not you this time, it's me and that they understand that we're going to go with people that are in charter school circles. If that's the case, I think that is a bigger issue that we need to look at. It was not required for the Franco people to come in on a glass surface with shards tearing their skin to arrive at an apology or an acknowledgement of the last problems that they had, but some kind of effort to say something, as in my memory, was never made. And that sticks in my mind. Why are we rewarding a company that has not taken responsibility for a previous significant mistake? Now, in the materials we have here, we have a narrative that wants to blame it on the plumbers. I don't know that, you know, I know the game of contracting well enough to know that the easiest thing is to put the responsibility on the lowest people. But I think most of the time, plumbers do what they're told as opposed to cutting corners. And when they cut corners, they're found out very early. And that's not what happened in the case of the mistake here with the chemistry lab. What happened was it was badly designed. Someone didn't stay up with it. It was not caught. And so do we as a board rubber stamp bad behavior that's never acknowledged and say, oh, we don't care. It's fine. You guys made a mistake and it cost us thousands and thousands of dollars and multiplied over other things that were led to delays? Or do we say, no, here we stop. This is a small project. And we're going to give this to somebody who is actually bidding higher under the assumption that they will do things correctly. And they will be above board with us. And so that's kind of my, you know, I know that we have a timeline. And I would say that if we want to get started on the outside stuff, that maybe we just do that now. And we wait to do the inside until we have either another round RFP or I'm open to other suggestions.
Hi, this is Patrick. So yeah, I mean, we, so obviously at the committee's request, we did split up the scope. And so, the committee, as far as I'm concerned, is well within its right to say, okay, we're going to award this contract, but not the other one. So I just want to acknowledge that is okay. And if I may, just kind of going back, when you second it, you're not necessarily saying I approve it. You're just saying or proclaiming or stating that it should, that the motion is ripe to be voted upon. So you could move that the motion be voted upon, but also vote against it. You don't necessarily need to vote for it. So I just want to make that clear. You know, just because you're moving that the motion be considered, or you're seconding that the motion be considered, that's not necessarily your vote. You can vote differently. So I just want to make sure that that's clear.
So Patrick, are we able to vote for outside and the inside separately now?
Yes, you can.
You could have two motions, yes.
Yes, okay.
So Rabbi, Ms. Gonzalez, what do you guys think? So shall we go with outside then? At least how that going, and keep working on the inside?
Go ahead. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Rabbi.
I think it makes sense given our questions. I would like to review again what the outside costs are, just to be fresh about that. And I note that we also have one other consideration, and that is that we don't know what that structure is going to cost. That's a an unknown and probably will not be known until, or do we have some more information on that, Patrick?
On if you're referring to the solar shade structure, that's correct. Yeah, we don't know as of yet. We have an idea of what the restroom would cost. We do have some information on that. The information that I have suggests it would be around I want to say it was like $150,000 range. That was included as part of David Kay's proposal. And in that regard, it was a I think, well thought out, complete proposal. The problem with that is I'm not ready, or I didn't want to commit us, obviously, to choosing one modular manufacturer over another. I don't think we're at that point where we're ready to do that. But that was in his proposal. He said, if we use this particular manufacturer, this is how much it's going to cost to get it permitted, to get their design people in there, and then construct it. So we do have that information, but we don't have anything quite yet on the solar shade structure.
So wait, I didn't understand it. Inside of the David Kay thing is a bid for both parts, so we can't.
Parts,
all three bids across the board, right?
So right? He's the only one that included information on the restroom. So that was, like I said, I think it was in the $150,000 range. So if we were to accept that, then we would have to increase the fee there by about $150,000. So we're looking at $375,000. But again, I don't think at this juncture we're ready to do that. I think it's worth looking at what different vendors might have available as a solution for us. So that's why that's not baked into these costs, because that is a design build cost, as far as I'm concerned, that will, you know, whether we go with David, whether we go with Berliner, or whether we go with Franco, that's gonna be an additional cost.
So do the board members propose an amendment to the resolution, or should we keep it as is? Right, so I'll read the motion once more. So the motion is for the committee to approve the selection of Franco Architects for design and engineering services for certain capital improvement projects at Magnolia Science Academy 1, and that the committee further recommends and moves that the board of directors of Magnolia Public Schools approve the same. We had Mr. Mohamedov move the motion. Is there a second?
Well, it sounds like the motion, the...
It dies.
Well, the proposal was to split it into two.
Split it, yeah.
Split it. So how do we word the split?
How do we work the language on that?
So, If I could recommend, let's see, approves the selection of Franco Architects, Inc. for design and engineering services for, we could say, site improvement, for a site improvement project at Magnolia Science Academy 1. That would be the change.
And that was the cost.
Site would refer to outside.
Correct. Yes. Correct. Okay. That's correct. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. And what is the price of that?
Just
a separate project.
So that is for Franco. That's $38,900.
And the next bid above it was
would be from David Kay, and that would be $150,775.
Okay, so I'll read the motion once more. So the motion is for the committee to approve the selection of Franco Architects Incorporated for design and engineering services for site improvement projects at Magnolia Science Academy 1, and that the committee further recommends and moves that the Board of Directors of Magnolia Public Schools approve the same. Would a board member like to move the motion?
I'll move it.
I'll second it.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov and Rabbi Beliak. I'll now take vote. Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Rabbi Beliak?
Yes.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Thank you. The motion has been approved as amended. Next, we'll move on to recommended action item 2B, approval of annual independent audit reports for fiscal year 2019-2020. This item will be presented by Mr. Orozov, our Chief Financial Officer. Mr. Orozov?
Yes, thank you, Jen. Good evening, board members and Magnolia family. So, as you know, can you hear me well?
Okay.
Yep, as you know, every year we are all the charter schools, as well as we are ourselves, we're required by law to have an independent audit by a third party company. And for that, we engage with Aid Bailey, the audit company. And in front of you is the audit report for 1920, fiscal year 1920, or the academic year 2019-2020. We have 10 schools, and each school is required to have its own independent audit. We have the home office, which is the 11th site. And as you know, in the consolidated report, I apologize, the 11th site, the home office, there's no, the 11th report includes all together, the home office, the schools, and the MPM Inc., LLC part. So in front of you, we have 11 reports, one report per school, and a report on a consolidated basis. The total report is actually 429 pages. It's a short report, but I think it will be best to actually look at the consolidated report. If you can scroll down to page 368, Jennifer, I can take you to the consolidated report and walk you through, and then thereof, if there are any desire to look at the individual reports, we can do that. So if you can just keep going to the page with numbers. Yeah, if you can just stop. And for comparative reasons, the report includes the financials for the prior year. In front of you is the statement of financial position, or the balance sheet, so to say. The total current assets is listed at $31 million for on consolidated basis, compared to $26 million from last year. And the current assets is listed at $31 million. And with non-current assets, restricted cash and property and equipment, the total assets is at $86 million compared to $78 million in 2019. If you scroll down a little bit, Jen. And in terms of the liabilities, more please. Our total liabilities as of June 2020 is $55 million compared to $50 million last year. What that results in is for 2020 is $30.9 million in without donor restrictions in net assets category. And last year, that amount was $28.1 million. The change from last year is about $2.8 million. Jennifer, can you please scroll down? So that was the balance sheet. And now we're going to the statement of activities, or income statement. So all in all, with for the all organizations, including the LLCs, the total revenues is $51 million. Out of that, $40 million was funded through the LCFF formula, local control funding formula. We received $2.8 million in federal revenues. Other state revenues was $6.8 million, and local revenues translated into almost $1.3 million. The total revenue for the year, for fiscal year 1920, is $51.3 million compared to $50 million from last year. The total expenses for 2020 is $48.5 million. That last year we had a little over than that, $48.8 million. Out of that, we spent $32 million for program expenses, program services, and around $16 million for management and other general expenditures. Well, those activities resulted in change in net assets of $2.8 million, which means, we spent less than what we earned, what we received from the government and the state, federal and state government. That figure is in comparison to unaudited actuals, which we submitted back in August for all the schools to different agencies. That's an increase of, I believe, about $500,000. But this figure here includes all those LLCs. Unaudited actuals does not include the LLC figures. So if you look at on a consolidated basis, the total change is $1.4 million, but about $800,000 belongs to LLC, which leaves behind around $500,000. So we had an increase in the overall financials or the net change in the from the state from the activities in 2020 compared to unaudited actuals, about $500,000. So this again is on a consolidated basis, it includes all the schools from MSA 1 through MSA San Diego. It includes the home office income and expenses. It also includes the LLCs as well. Can you scroll down? So this report right here lays out the same program and management expenditures by natural classification, meaning what categories they lie in. For example, salaries, we spent $25 million. Out of that, $18 million was spent for program services, $6.8 million was for management and general expenditures, but paid for salaries. The same goes for the other categories of the expenditures: employee benefits, payroll taxes, fees, and so on. If you can go down, please, Jennifer. And then this is our cash flow report, statement of cash flows. Can you scroll down a little bit, Jennifer? So on the left-hand side, we obviously have 2020. On the right-hand side, we have 2019 for comparison reasons. As of the year end, we had $27 million in cash. Obviously, some of that was restricted for specific programs, but overall, $27 million was the cash balance as of the year end. This is considered very strong in terms of a cash analysis. That is the main reason why we're able to survive through the cash flow deferrals of coming from the state. For 2021, which is the academic year 2020-2021, the current year, the year we're in, 33% of our revenue was pushed away, pushed out to 2021. The schools are not receiving those cash funding, but disbursements. But because of this cash reserve that we were able to build throughout the years, we're doing okay. We did not apply for any cash flow deferral exemptions. We did not. We're not intending to exhaust any outside financial resources because of this cash reserve. In that regard, the schools did a good job in terms of building up a reserve, cash reserve. Can you go further, please, Jennifer? And then from this page on, obviously, we have the notes to financial statements. The first note is talking about the organization, and then we have the significant accounting policies and so on. And the further reports describes any financial arrangements we have. Those are, put there to give an additional context to the readers of the report. Again, this is a very long report. We have one report for each school, and the consolidated report, as you can see, is giving the details about each specific school and the LLCs, including the home office. But again, overall, I think, in terms of the auditor's opinion, we got the highest standards of the opinion, which is the unmodified opinion. We had, however, some adjustments due to the fact that the unaudited actuals were submitted early in August. And then since then, we had, some adjustments made to some schools. which resulted in some change. But overall, as I said, the total change from unaudited actuals to the audited financials around $500,000 on a consolidated basis for some schools. We had, increases, some schools had a decrease, but, those are not very high numbers. We're talking about $20,000 per school. But overall, came up for about $500,000 in terms of the net change for the year for all schools they taken together. What else? So we had some suggestions from the auditors. We are, working on that with them. Obviously, I took on my job on August 5th, and we will keep improving the systems and internal controls that we already have in place. But we had a number of meetings with the auditors in collaboration with DMS. We're working day and night in terms of improving our internal control procedures, fiscal policies, so that we can do even better. This is the report in front of you at this time. I think I'm gonna just let you guys go ahead with your questions if you have any, or if you want me to go ahead and explain any specific area, just let me know. If you want me to take it to a specific school, I can do that as well. So go ahead, please.
Thank you, Mr. Orzov. Is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? If not, board members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item?
This is Mirkan. Serdar, thank you for presenting. Serdar, quick question, the implication of PPP on the report. Can you briefly discuss about that?
Absolutely, thank you. That's a good question. So we did not change the treatment of the PPP loan in the audited financials. Initially, as you may remember, we booked it as a liability because we are still working on the forgiveness application. We are hopeful that we will get the forgiveness, and at that point, we're going to transfer that over as a revenue to the school sites. But at this point, because we're still waiting for the forgiveness and it's not approved by the SBA, though that is sitting as a liability on our books. So, and if yes, you can scroll up, let me take it to that. If you can,
a little over $5 million on liabilities. It's the
that's right there. $5.14 million. That's right.
So it's technically, we should be in a better shape than even this report looks, technically speaking.
Absolutely. Once we get the forgiveness approved, that amount will be distributed to school sites and the home office, it will be turned into revenue. So it's not going to obviously happen in 2020 because we already closed the books. Mm-hmm. This is the final report in front of you. And we're not sure if that's going to happen in the current year because we don't know in terms of the timeline when the SBA is going to accept our application and they're going to get back to us. But in the case it's going to happen before June 30, obviously our financials are going to improve by $5.4 million in a cumulative base.
Got it. And just to follow up on the PPP question, there is a refundable advance PPP on page 10. Can you just elaborate on that particular
can you take is it page 10 of this specific report, the consolidated report, or the page 10 of the PDF? Can you take me there, Jennifer? I just want to see what that exactly is. You said
so if Jennifer, if you go to the PDF, you found it. Oh, right there.
The refundable advance PPP. That I think, Mikan, I'll have to come back to you because I'm not sure what it translates into.
Yeah.
But I'll definitely get back to you on that. I can actually email the board. That's okay, right? I can email the board.
Yes, I would appreciate that. I just noticed it in the books, and it's some certain amount that's, you know. I'm sure that the auditors probably.
Can you go a little up, please? This is the statement of cash flow. This is not income statement. So just a second, let me try to.
The statement of cash flows. Did we use any of it? Because should it be there?
Yeah. Yeah, that is something I have to talk to the auditors.
Committee, and then we can discuss it later on.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
This is something, this does not impact by any means our income statement or the balance sheet. This is the statement of cash flows. I'll get back to you on that. That's a very good question. Thank you.
The overall tact of the report is there. It's just that.
Any further questions?
I think it could be some sort of, I want to think it's some sort of a naming.
It could be actually.
Try to speculate. I'll get back to you on that.
Thank you.
Any further comments or questions from the members of the board?
First of all, Sadar, thank you. I've never written a 400 and something page anything. So, and I have read a few books that are certainly as big or larger, but this is very different, a different order of thinking. I want to make a request for the future. I do trust and I do know that there are people with greater knowledge and comprehension of these figures. I want to request a study session, not now, and the future, that's far enough in advance that you take us through, not 400 and some pages, but what you, you know, the difference between what Mr. Mekan is able to ask, he caught that very quickly, and what we're able to ask, I think, is the significant difference of having the full board appreciate what you're doing here and how you're working with the auditors and the complexity of this. And I don't think we're going to get to be financial wizards, but I would like to be more competent in reflecting
absolutely.
On this.
Absolutely. We can probably make room for that in one of the board retreats, unless you want to have it any sooner than that.
Thank you for that. Is there any further questions or comments from the members of the board? If not, I'll read the motion. So the motion is for the Audit and Facilities Committee to recommend to the board for the approval of the annual independent audit report for fiscal year 2019 through 2020 of all 10 schools and the consolidated audit report, including the home office. Would a board member like to move the motion?
I'll make the one.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Rabbi Beliak. I'll now take vote. Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Rabbi Beliak?
Yes.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Thank you for that. The motion has been approved. So that concludes the rest of our recommended action items. We'll now move forward with the closing items. So Mr. Mohamedov, may you please adjourn the meeting?
Yes, it is 6:11 p.m. and audit facility and audit committee meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, everyone. So we do have a regular board meeting after this, so please join at 6:15 p.m. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. See you.